Lovely to be with you and have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. God has obviously already been speaking this morning, calling us to come to Him, telling us maybe something that you're hearing deep in your own personal heart, that God has made you a precious stone and He's dug you out of the ground to be a precious jewel in His hand. But He wants you to take a step of faith. He wants you to definitely commit your life to Him. And this is where we all start, isn't it? With a definite committal of ourselves to Jesus. I want to say that because I went to church for 10 years and nobody ever told me that. So I want to say it this morning. You don't get to know Jesus until you definitely commit yourself to Him and invite Him to take over your life. That's when the fun starts. Just before we study this morning, I'd just like to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your wonderful presence with us this morning. Thank You. You are the faithful God. You never change. You never get tired or bored with us. You never get angry with us, Lord, but Your love reaches to us again and again. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. We bless You, Lord. Thank You for ever coming into the world and doing Your life-changing work. Thank You, Lord. And as we look into Your Word today, Lord, we pray that our lives might continue to be changed as You speak to us and reveal Yourself, Your Son, to us in ever more glorious and deepening ways. We ask in Your precious name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Should I put that one away? We're going to read from verse 1, Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, about a mission. The Lord sent His disciples on a mission, and I just felt the Lord has a few things to say to us from this text, so we're going to read about what happened, and from verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" We'll drop down now to verse 16. "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And we'll stop there for the moment. God wants to send us on a mission. Oh, we prayed this morning for some sisters and a brother who, and young people who are going on a mission in the next few days. But here, God, I believe God wants to speak to all of us. When you're looking to the Old Testament, there was a moment when God took something that was on Moses and put it on 70 others. You'll find that Numbers chapter 11, and we'll do some walks through the Bible today. Numbers 11, verse 16 and 17. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me." Moses has been complaining to the Lord that his job's too big. Well, he did have 2 million people to look after all, which is rather a large number by any stretch of the imagination. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone." It's now wonderful. God wanted to relieve Moses of the burden that he had. And he said, "I'm going to take something that you've got, and I'm going to give it to those 70 others." And here we find the Lord Jesus doing the same thing. He's taking of his burden. Should I put this a bit lower down? It's flowy, isn't it? He's taking of his burden to save the world, which only he can do, of course. But he's taking that burden and his authority and giving it to his disciples so that they can take the wonderful, great news of Jesus to everyone they meet. Try that. Okay. Right. If you just whip back to Luke chapter 9 at the beginning there, this mission is after the mission of the 12, okay? He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So there's our mission. Preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, and most of all, tell them about Jesus. This is what Jesus sent 70 others out to do. And back in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, we find that he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So they were forerunners. They were sent ahead of the Master to tell people to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. And they had a very simple message. We read in another gospel, they preach that men should repent and turn to the Lord. That's a very simple message, isn't it? Repent. Turn your heart towards God. And the message is still the same today. Repent. Repentance is a way of life, as Mother Basilea said. Matthew tells us that after Jesus had sent out his disciples, he himself went to teach and preach in their cities. So he sent his disciples one way and he went the other way. Sounds a strange thing, doesn't it? But of course, he went with them on their mission. That's the important thing to remember. And at the same time, when they maybe were worried about their families and what they were leaving behind, Jesus went to take care of their families. It's a wonderful thing to know that God takes care. When we take care of God's work, God takes care of everything to do with our lives. There's a wonderful verse in 2 Timothy. And I'll read it to you. If you want to jot it down, please do. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And Paul saying, "I was appointed as a preacher and apostle of teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." What have you committed to the Lord? What have you committed to the Lord? Don't let it be an anxiety in your heart. If it's committed to the Lord, He is able to keep that which we have committed to Him until that day. Glory to His wonderful name. So Jesus sent them before His face. That's an important word in the scriptures. The face. The face and the presence of the Lord are synonymous in many situations. So He said, okay guys, out you go. Out you go. And He gave them a very simple resource. It was called the gospel. And as they proclaimed and shared the gospel, God did amazing things through them. And praise God, He hasn't changed one little bit. Still the same God. Still doing amazing things, isn't He? And I want to read those verses in Romans chapter 1, which we know so well. But it's great to read them again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When we declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God is in the declaration of the gospel. It's a wonderful thing to get hold of. I know many times out in Asia, and you're talking to somebody, and you're thinking, you know, how is God going to get through? But the simple declaration of the truth of God is the power of God. The power of God is enshrined in the gospel that we share. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So we don't have to work ourselves up to foaming up the mouth about it. We simply declare the word of God. This is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus has done. He gave His life for us. He gave His life for you. And then God raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. And in that very simple statement is all the power of God that anyone needs. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So that's the important thing, that when we go out in the name of the Lord, that we go in faith. The gospel is the mightiest force on earth. I wonder if you realize that. You know, there are huge powers at work in the world today, aren't there? There are political powers. There's all sorts of things happening on the international scene that you sense that there's sort of great currents flowing about the world like jet streams, but they're political jet streams, and there are all sorts of powers that are involved in those political things. And that's why we need to pray for our country, isn't it? Especially at the current present time and over the next few years. But those things are happening. But the power of the gospel is more powerful than that. The power of the gospel is more powerful. It's the mightiest force on earth. Because the gospel has spread from Jerusalem to every corner of the earth. And a lot of that's happened in your lifetime and mine. When Jesus sent them out, He sent them out with this very simple resource. Preach the gospel and I'm with you. Okay? That's all you need. And when they came back, verse 17, Luke chapter 10, the 70 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And the Lord said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And you know, there are various ways that people interpret this fall of Satan like lightning from heaven. You can go to Isaiah chapter 14, and where it talks about Lucifer, the day star, and how he fell from his position. And Ezekiel 28 seems to be talking about a similar time when this glorious being fell from his place of beauty. You walked him in Eden among the stones of fire. That was what Satan did, possibly as the guardian angel that God appointed for man. And then Satan turned to be our enemy. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When was that? Well, when the disciples preached the gospel. When the disciples preach the gospel, anywhere where the gospel is preached, Satan is dethroned. Yeah. Everywhere that the gospel is preached, Satan is dethroned. Whatever locality where the gospel is shared, Satan is dethroned. Which is the reason why we have to take every opportunity that we can to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with all and sundry and any and everybody, in season, out of season, at every street corner, wherever we can. Hallelujah. Because wherever the gospel is proclaimed, Satan's territory is taken away from him. He's a usurper. He usurped the world. He usurped the world from Jesus Christ in the beginning, and now we're taking it back in the name of Jesus Christ as we go and share. And that might be with your family, a family member this afternoon, or it might be a neighbour in the week, or it might be far in Romania, or it might be further afield, wherever God wants you to share the gospel. That's where Satan's power is taken away from him. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with us. It's all to do with him. Hallelujah. The power belongs to God. All power belongs to God. Hallelujah. But as we are obedient servants and do the thing that the Lord tells us to do, then God commits himself to work in power through the words of feeble people like you and me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you're feeling feek and weeble this morning, don't worry about it. Okay. Use every opportunity. Buy up the time, because the days are evil, Paul says. Okay, he uses marketplace language. Buy the time. Look, there's a good opportunity. Why don't you buy some of that, and then you get a real reward on the interest. Okay. use every opportunity you can to share. Okay, so that was the first thing the Lord said. Share the gospel. The second thing is in verse 2, chapter 2, 10 verse 2. He said, the harvest truly is great, but the labourers few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. Some versions might have pray earnestly, and that's really good, because that's what the word means. There are different words for prayer in the New Testament, as you know. Some of them are simply make mention. You know, Paul says, I make mention of your names before the Lord. And you think, wow, you know, you can do that as you're walking down the street. Somebody comes into mind, oh yeah, you can make mention. But here, the Lord Jesus is using a different word, and he's saying, pray earnestly that God, the Lord of the harvest, to send out labourers into his harvest. It means to beg, beseech for help. Do you remember the man full of leprosy who came to Jesus? And he was full of leprosy. Can you imagine that? And he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus said, yeah, I'm willing. Be healed. Wonderful. The man begged the Lord. He was desperate, wasn't he? This is the same verb. The man with the demonized son in Luke chapter 9 and verse 38. This man comes out of the crowd saying to Jesus, teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he's my only child. Teacher, I implore you, I beg you. This is how Jesus wants us to pray. For the gospel to go forward, whether it's in our own family, among our friends, our neighbours, our neighbourhoods, our nation. This is how Jesus wants us to pray. The Lord said to Peter, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And it's the same word again. I prayed earnestly for you. Can you imagine, any time you're feeling really down, just think of Jesus praying earnestly for you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and what's Jesus' ministry in heaven? Hebrews 7:25. He ever liveth to make intercession for us at the right hand of God. That's the Lord's work right now. The Lord hasn't stopped working. When he was on earth, he said, my Father is working, and so am I. Hallelujah. And he sent his disciples out to work. So are you ready to work, beloved? Are you ready to work? When we think of this kind of prayer, people came to my mind, you know, just thinking about it. One is the Moravians. They started a 24/7 prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. How about that? And they sent out more missionaries per capita of their congregations than any other denomination on the face of the earth. Wonderful story, the Moravians. And then there was the Fulton Street prayer meeting. Anybody heard of the Fulton Street prayer meeting? Oh, good. I can tell you about it. Fulton Street was a street in New York City, and in the mid-1850s some businessmen got together who were very concerned about the state of their city, and they decided to pray. and they met above a restaurant. I think they had lunch and then they prayed in a room beside the eating place, and started to pray for people by name. This is the thing that's important. People by name. And week by week, news came back that people they were praying for were getting saved. And they were added to the meeting. And other people began to join this prayer meeting. And they kept it really simple. They had one hymn, and then people stood up, mentioned somebody by name for prayer, and everybody prayed for that person. And the Fulton Street prayer meeting then snowballed into other prayer meetings around the USA. And by a conservative estimate, 200,000 people were saved through that prayer meeting. Is that wonderful? No great preaching. It was just God at work in people's lives. Hallelujah. Can God do that again? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Fulton Street prayer meeting, the 1859 revival, resulted. And of course there were the ladies, little old ladies on the Isle of Lewis. One stone blind and the other in her 80s, both in their 80s, and God moved them to burdened them to pray, and they prayed until the place was shaken. Chapel was shaken where they were. And God did that in the early church, of course, and it's the same word that was used there. When the church prayed, when they begged God earnestly to work, the building in which they were was shaken. And I just want to read you, to encourage you, because sometimes we pray and pray and pray and don't seem to get an answer. And this is what Lilius Trotter wrote in a little booklet called Vibrations, which I've never seen, but here is one thing she said to encourage us to persevere in prayer. One of the pillars that support the gallery of our old Arab house had fallen down. There she was in Algiers. Had fallen down into the court and lay shattered on the pavement, carrying with it a block of masonry and a shower of bricks. Down below, alongside of us, a native baker had installed himself 6 or 7 years ago. For hours every night, two men had swung on the huge seesaw, which in some mysterious way needs their bread, and every blow, backwards and forwards, had vibrated through our house. And now at last the result was seen in the shattering of masonry that looked as if it would last as long as the world. There is a vibrating power going on in the darkness and dust of this world that can make itself visible in startling results in the upper air and sunlight of the invisible world, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every prayer beat down here vibrates up to the very throne of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And does its work through that throne on the principalities and powers around us, just as each of the repeated throbs from below told on the structure of our house, though it was only the last one that produced the visible effect. We can never tell which prayer will liberate the answer, but we can tell that each one will do its work. Amen. Hallelujah. There's Lilius Trotter, who certainly knew something, knew what she was talking about. And then the Lord said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. This is a wonderful statement that the Lord gives us here, because it's translated literally from the Greek, the Lord of the harvest. But I don't know if you knew, but in the UK, back in Victorian times, there were gangs of labourers who used to travel around from farm to farm and hire themselves out to reap fields, to bring in the harvest, because farmers only had so many labourers on their farms. And this group would hire themselves out, and the leader of the gang of labourers was called the Lord of the Harvest. He was called the Lord of the Harvest. And he had two jobs. The first one was to agree the price for the field. And we know that the Lord of the Harvest agreed the price as his own blood for the field of this world, that men and women like you and me should receive his salvation through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing was that the Lord of the Harvest led the line of workers through the field. I've never worked in an English field, but I have worked harvesting rice. And you stand in a line and you work your way forwards. And the pace just goes on steadily from sundown to sunset. But the Lord of the harvest is the one who set the pace for the workers. Isn't that good? So in our service for God, it takes the strain. Any of us who are working for God, this takes the strain out of our work. We follow the pace of our Master who's leading the way. It's important that we don't run ahead. And it's important we don't get too far behind, or else people will look around and say, well, why isn't he working? This is the Lord of the harvest. Bless his wonderful name. He set the price of the field. And then he led the line of labourers. So that leads me to ask the question, what am I doing for the kingdom of God? And that leads to a second question, which Paul asked as soon as he was saved. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do, Lord? That's a good question to ask the Lord. That's your homework for today. Okay. If you feel the Lord wants you to do something. And when you've asked that question, you could also ask the question, Lord, what more would you have me do? And then we come to verse 3. And the Lord says, go your way. Out you go, lads. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Huh? Yeah. How does that work? I'm sending you out as lambs. Off you go. Off you go. By the way, there's a pack of wolves out there ready to, Oh, bless the Lord. What hope have they got? Well, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. For all of us who feel that pressure, sometimes you feel like you're a lamb among wolves. Here's a wonderful statement that the Lord gave through the prophet. Sorry, New Bible. From a beloved brother. Okay, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Jesus came to work, do work. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Okay, so don't fear, young lambs. You're actually being carried in the bosom of the Master. And the Master has said, no one can snatch them from my hands. Praise the name of the Lord. So, go your way. It is not service that matters, but intense spiritual reality, says Oswald Chambers. It is not service that matters, but intense spiritual reality. Jesus sends us out. Sorry, one more verse in 1 Kings chapter... I'll just read this one to you. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 27. Now the children of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of kids, while the Syrians filled the countryside. Very often the Church of God maybe feels like that. Two little flocks of kids, and all the opposing forces are surrounding, filling the countryside, and you feel that pressure. And the Lord says, don't worry, I bear you in my bosom. I bear you in my bosom, young people going to Romania. I bear you in my bosom, dear friend, as you go out into your job tomorrow and have to face some very unfriendly words, maybe in your workplace or in your learning place. And there are other kinds of wolves besides the world outside. There are wolves that the Lord spoke of who are inside. Just briefly, want to look with me, Matthew chapter 7. And we'll check out who the wolves are so we know who we need to avoid. Okay, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. The Lord said this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. False prophets. So what false prophets are wolves? Who are the false prophets? Well, we know them today as cults. Those who use the name of Christ but have nothing to do with his spirit. We think of those who come knocking on the door, whether they're Mormons or JWs or other cults, other isms, New Age teaching, or other religions. And the Lord says this in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. So in other words, we have to look carefully at people who are using the name of Christ and something rings in our hearts, this is not, doesn't sound quite right. Yeah? We have to look carefully. And the Lord says, do their lives show the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do their lives show the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And if you say no, when I think of that particular person, that particular group, I don't really see love, I don't really see peace, I don't really see joy. I just feel a controlling factor, I just feel something that makes me uneasy. Beware of the wolves. Acts 20:29, and this is a very hard one that Paul must have been in tears about. He's admonishing the elders of the church at Ephesus, which was a very large church by that time, and he says this, for I know this, verse 29, Acts chapter 20, verse 29, that after my departure, savage wolves, so not only ravenous, but savage, cruel, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. And then Paul repeats the same word that the Lord gave his disciples, therefore watch. Watch, be on the alert, be aware that these things are around in the world in which we live, and pray. Pray for deliverance from everything and anything that might seek to suck you in, which is not of God. Okay, this is sounds serious words. Well, it is serious because the Lord loves his sheep, the Lord loves his flock, he loves his lambs, and he wants each one to know his tender care day by day. And one more, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. And Paul is speaking of the last days, the last which we of course are in and have been in. The world has been in its last days since the death and resurrection of our Lord. And Paul says this in verse 4. People will be really very nasty. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So in other words, they may be using the name of Christ, they may have an appearance of godliness, but they deny the power of the gospel to transform anybody's life. So they say, okay, we can't expect people to change, so therefore we change the word of God. And we say the word of God doesn't really mean that, it means this. And therefore things can come in that are not of God. So Paul says very simply, from such people turn away. Okay, this is the reality of the age in which we live. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10 just for the last few minutes, and let's have a look at those few verses from 19 through to 22 again. The Lord said he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and then he promises to give the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Psalm 91 talks of having that power as well. And then it says, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. This is a spiritual thing that the Lord is talking of here, but it can happen literally as well. I remember we were having a prayer meeting in our house in Thailand, and the pastor's wife had her little boy in her arms, and he'd fallen asleep. And so there was a sleeping mat rolled up in a corner, and because she was holding him in her arms like this, she kicked the mat, and a snake flew out. And then everybody else flew out the door till the snake was dead. Yeah. And then one night, my little girl, my eldest daughter, you may see around here with three little boys now. She normally woke us up if she needed a toilet in the night. Remember, she was only sort of two or three. But she didn't. And one night she went down and she stopped at the bathroom door and stood still. And for some reason, one of us woke up. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, one of us went down. And she was just standing at the door. And we put the light on. And there, on the step of the bathroom, was a big scorpion. And, the Lord does things like that. Hallelujah. He does it for His children. He bears the lambs in His bosom. But also, here I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Isn't that wonderful? There is no power of darkness that can stand against the power of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the name high over all. We sung it this morning. Jesus, what a beautiful name. And all the power and love and grace of God is wrapped up in the mighty name of Jesus. And everything of darkness has to flee before His face. Hallelujah. Glory to His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we go forth to share the gospel in whatever way the Lord gives us to do, whether it's by word of mouth with people around us, whether we're on our knees praying for the Lord to come down to break through in situations that seem intransigent, God, hallelujah, the power of God is with us. And the enemy has to yield his ground. He has to. Hallelujah. He's afraid of the name of Jesus. I will repeat again that thing that Oswald Chambers said, it is not service that matters, but intense spiritual reality. If we just dip it into the end of Luke chapter 10, you remember the story of Martha and Mary, that Martha was distracted with her serving. And this is always a word in season to any servant of the Lord. Whatever service we're about, it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? And you get caught up with practical things, or you get caught up, your mind is caught up, and instead of your mind being on the Lord, who you're serving, it's on all the other things, the peripheral things around about it. And Martha was distracted. She didn't bring the presence of the Lord into her home. The Lord was in her home. Mary had the presence of the Lord with her, but Martha didn't. You know, and Jesus wants us to bring the presence of Himself into every planned meeting we have and into every chance encounter. And not to miss the moment when Jesus is in the room. Yeah? Because wherever we are, if we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, Jesus is there in the room with us. And there are moments when Jesus wants to step into a conversation, or He wants to step into a life. And if we are alert and awake and sensitive to the Spirit of God, we can bring Jesus into the room. And I think that's what Oswald Chambers was talking about. And then the Lord said this in verse 21, 22, while He prayed, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. There's this revelation of Jesus that comes to us as we simply walk with Him through the world in which we live. As we walk with our neighbours, our friends, our families, and believe that the Lord, who said He was with us, would be with us every single day until His return, actually is with us. Hallelujah. There was a famous actor, whose name I forget, way back in the 18th century, and he said, you know the problem with you Christians, he said, you believe as if it's acting, whereas I act as if I believe. Think about that one. Okay. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we do thank and praise you that you are the living God. You're the living God. You're everywhere. You're here, Lord. You're here among us now. You're here. You dwell with every one of us who loves your name and has yielded our life to you. Oh, Lord, I do pray if there's anyone in the room, Lord, who's never done that, never taken that definite step of faith, Lord, that you will help them to do that today. Lord, to talk to somebody if necessary, or just simply to kneel down and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need your salvation, please come into my life and take my sins away. Lord Jesus, thank you, you're faithful to come when we pray like that. Lord, when we pray earnestly, Lord, you do things that beyond the normal, beyond whatever we've seen before. Lord, thank you, you encourage us to believe you and to trust you to do that too. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, you've sent all of us out on your mission. Lord, with the resources of your gospel and your presence with us, your blessed Holy Spirit. Father, we just pray that as we go into this week, Lord, into the world in which we live, as we rub shoulders with the world, then the fragrance of Jesus might rub off from us onto other people around us, Lord. And that we might have opportunities to buy up and to really make use of what you bring before us. And we just want to praise you and thank you and bless you for who you are, Lord Jesus, and say, we really love you, Lord. Amen.